Hello and welcome to Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. I am your loyal host, opening up the program with No One Else by Gregory Stafford. And I tell you what, I want us to continue this opening by being inspired. I want to open it with inspiration. Of course, a lot of you know that one of the features on Speaking with Carl Thornton Jr. is motivational moments. That's right. It is about educational matters. That's right. It is about business matters. It is about health matters and more, as it has been for about the last 10 or 12 years. But you know what? It is also about inspiration, being inspired. And of course, we have a number of people who help us be inspired, get inspired, remain inspired. It takes, how many of you have noticed? It really takes energy to stay inspired. Yeah, I mean, sometimes we can just wake up and, man, we are ready to go. We're thinking about what we're going to do. We're thinking about what's going to happen, and we are just excited, and that excitement just automatically brings a flow of inspiration. And we can have that inspiration throughout the day. Maybe not every moment of that day, but throughout the day, just inspired. And maybe the next day inspired, but sometimes things happen that just kind of throw you for a loop, and you may have to kind of catch your breath for a day or two or three and then get inspired again. We're going to have some help with the inspiration today on our motivational moments section here. A lot of you know that I like bringing you some very interesting information from Black Enterprise, and we're going to do that today. You know, they have a video series that they call Profiles of Principled Entrepreneurship. Let me give that to you again. Profiles of Principled Entrepreneurship. And they basically feature a number of, each segment will feature usually one entrepreneur, but an entrepreneur who's really, really doing some great things. I want to bring to you the entrepreneur Ryan Wilson today, who has a facility in the ATL that is first class. This place is just beautiful. Now, I know some of you are thinking, oh, wow, man, well, tell me the name of it. And the next time I visit Atlanta, for those of you who are already in Atlanta and you're thinking, wait a minute, what's the name of this place? I need to make sure I have paid that a visit, or do pay the visit if I haven't already. Here's the thing. Let me let you know up front. According to the information, it is not only private, but it's invitation only. But who knows? You might be able to get an invitation. You might know someone who knows someone who could have that invitation extended. Often, that's the way it works. So let me let you hear about this. Profiles of Principled Entrepreneurship, with the focal point being The Gathering Spot.
In our series, we focus on entrepreneurs who drive innovation, who've taken risks, who have developed business models that have had major impact, as well as have had an impact on their communities. Today, we have Ryan Wilson, co-founder and CEO of The Gathering Spot. And he's going to share his entrepreneurial journey with us today. Ryan, pleasure to have you here.
Good to be here.
How did you develop the concept for The Gathering Spot, and share with us its evolution?
So The Gathering Spot, we started this business when I was in law school, right? And my parents are entrepreneurs. I never thought that I would actually pursue entrepreneurship at all. I went to Georgetown for undergrad and then immediately into the law center in DC. What I started to find is that I didn't have access to workspace. I would go to coffee shops and restaurants, and I would get the tap on my shoulder a lot of times of, hey, it's time to go. And so I started talking about that problem with one of my college roommates. We had a lot going on socially at the same time, and it was really difficult for us to find social spaces to gather. And a million conversations later, we settled on creating what the club is today, which is a private invitation-only club.
Why not just a co-working space? Why did you decide to be intentional in terms of making it a private membership club?
So co-working is important to us, but we decided to add two additional pieces to the business, the restaurant and bar and the event space, understanding that those are other places where people like to gather and where business is done. So you'll find members of the club absolutely working in the workspace, but they also work over food and they meet each other during the events that we host. To have a community that is really able to get to know one another, you've got to provide different ways for them to be able to interact.
You had this vision, you and your partner, TK Peterson, decided to go into this venture, and you said, so let's raise $1 million for this new private membership club. Share with us the journey of gaining the financing and the challenges of funding this venture.
So raising capital is a very, very tough process. And I think one of the first lessons that we learned is that there is a difference between an idea and a business model. We pitched 97 times before our first investment, and it was really a process of building a network through no. I joke all the time that even after a person would tell us no, a lot of times our next question would be perfect, and so can you tell us someone that maybe would want to say yes?
You have co-working spaces, soundproof rooms where we saw podcasting going on. You have auditorium for events. You have the restaurant. Go share with us the process of building this space out.
We wanted to make sure that we surrounded ourselves with some of the best experts. All right, I'm coming out of the legal world. My business partner, TK, has a finance background. And so neither one of us were designers or had any experience in construction. And so we went out and found one of the best design and architecture firms in the world, Gensler. And they really helped us think through. I mean, there are a lot of things going on under this one roof. I mean, as we've talked about, there's co-working, there's a full restaurant here. We had to find a space that could accommodate an entire kitchen. For assembly space, we wanted to be in a place where there was parking. And real estate is not easy to find when you have such tough requirements the way that we had.
Being a private membership club, you screen who are going to be members. So how do you become, a member of this company?
So the process really begins online to become a member of the club. But it doesn't end there. So after a potential member submits an application to the club, our membership team reviews that application and then schedules an interview. From the interview, that team comes back together and we start to evaluate the overall composition of the club itself. So for the club to be creative and to be entrepreneurial and to have the corporate community present, we have to spend a lot of time trying to make sure that there's always balance here.
As you looked at the events that you put on here, what have been the events that have wowed you? You say, we are putting on this event and we're having this impact in the community.
I'd say recently, and the club specializes in corporate experiences. We do a lot with brands introducing their products and services to the membership. Anyone from Spotify to Google to Facebook to Georgia Power to Coca-Cola, you'll see the largest brands in the world host their functions here.
What's the growth plan? So you'll have two locations in 2019. Over 5 years, are you?
The goal over the next 5 years is to open about 10 clubs. So I spend a lot of time on the road. I'm easily in 6 or 7 cities a month, looking around from a real estate perspective. Again, understanding that the lead time for us to open in a city is not a 1 or 2 day process. We really spend a lot of time trying to understand the market that's looking at data, but that's also talking to people. It's doing events and really getting a true understanding of what's happening in the city.
In terms of having an impact on the larger community, philanthropic, in terms of social entrepreneurship, has that also been a driver in terms of some of the connections that are made here?
We absolutely believe that one of the powerful things about assembling this type of group of people together is that you also have to have an eye on doing good work for the community. And so that comes in a lot of different shapes and sizes here at the club. As an organization, we're super intentional about it. So one immediate example that I can give you, we've developed a relationship with the school that's not too far from here, where we provide dinner service to the entire school every single day. We look at the gathering spot being a place where the conversation is convened.
You've seen the gathering spot as a platform that has helped to drive social entrepreneurship.
We have, right? So the purpose of what we're trying to do here is really about making sure that people have a space, physical space, where they can come in and know that the conversation is always going to be held here. It doesn't really matter what the social issue is. We want this to be the common ground that people are able to engage in a very substantive debate. So my first job was working, my parents owned a call center business that was called Ryla Teleservices. So it was named after my sister and I. So I'm Ryan, my sister's name is Lauren. So it was the first two letters of our name put together. And I watched my parents grow from the first two people that were in our basement to when they sold the company, probably about 5,000 employees at the time across the country. If there's anything that I learned from my parents, though, and it's a really simple concept, is that it's important to do business the right way.
What advice would you give young entrepreneurs who are trying to start their business?
There's nobody more capable than you to start the business. It really just takes being diligent about taking a step every single day that you're trying to pursue whatever it is. I'm a very, very transparent leader. I tell my team about what's happening here, why it's happening, what my goals are for the future, why they're my goals, what milestones we've hit, what milestones we've missed. And I think through those open conversations, you get to a place where folks trust that even in tough conversations or bad moments, that we're all still working towards a common goal.
I tell you what, I found that fascinating. And you know, if you were to see also just pictures of the facilities, the place is nice. I mean, it is first class. It is truly, truly nice. The gathering spot. And I was really impressed by the fact that they're planning to expand and already looking at having a total of 10 places open up. And I'm wondering where he's, you know, which cities he's looking at. He says nothing for him to be in six cities in a week's time or so. I'm wondering if he's considering mid-sized cities or only big cities like the Atlanta area. Wonder if he would be interested in anyway, I like that. I love it when people pull together great businesses and they're really trying to give us grade A facilities to work in, whether it's a barbershop, whether it's a clothing store, whether it is a gathering spot. Nice places, and they're really about helping. That's one of the things that I noticed too, the fact that there's a mission connected with the gathering spot. It's not just about making money for the two owners. It's also about having a place where people can come together and make a difference. I really like that. So we'll keep our eyes and ears open, see what will be happening in the near future. Well, when we come back, let's take a look at something else. You know, off and on, I talk about other creatures, you know, creatures other than us Homo sapiens. And I know for a long, long time, people have said that, well, you know, other animals really don't have intelligence. They don't feel, they don't really think, they don't think critically, blah, blah, blah. And I remember hearing people say things like that when I was in high school. And even when I heard the experts say that, I disagreed with them. I couldn't help but disagree with them because just paying attention to dogs the way I did and noticing how they obviously used reason and logic to help them make certain decisions that they made. It just seemed to me that there was a lot more intelligence in those brains than a lot of people were giving them credit for having. And you watch the elephants, and they talk about, you know, they say that we humans are the only ones who could feel, but you watch a mother elephant, father elephant, other elephants gathering around a larger baby elephant who, for whatever reason, just can't go any further. And they're there trying to get that baby elephant on its feet so that it'll walk with them, it'll continue the journey with them. And come to find out later on that these elephants grieve when they lose a loved one. So much to learn about these creatures that the Creator has put on this earth. Well, when we come back, there's a particular type of creature I'd like for us to learn about. It's the crow. Let's see what Dr. Mary Bates, through Psychology Today, can tell us about crows. Crows and decision making, to be more specific.